Welcome to Cripple Sip Sip
Crumpled wow. Simpsons.
Crumpled Simpsons. Welcome to episode 58 of Everything is Awesome, a Lego movie podcast.
Hey, son of a bitch.
You had better not steal my recommendation.
You had better not steal it.
You guys Everything went to go see Lego movie without me?
I saw it Friday afternoon at 3:30.
I didn't even get a call.
Okay.
I saw it.
Who would have seen it? I saw it at 3:30 at Friday. If you would have went.
What movie? You went and saw it without us?
Oh my god damn it.
You're not allowed to look at your...
No, I found the name of it.
Well, save it for later.
I'll save it for later, but it's amazing. You guys are going to like this.
Yes, I went...
Is it the Luke? Like, is it
it's
that
not
ironic?
The Luke, but it's that close.
If you see it before 4, if you see it before 4, it's cheaper. So I saw it on Friday before 4. Yeah. Everyone works late on Friday.
I saw it on Saturday morning.
You didn't even call me. You know what I was doing on Saturday morning? Getting my hair done.
Feel free to compliment.
I haven't decided if I liked it or not yet.
It's very pretty.
I thought it would be really weird for me to ask a friend's wife to go see.
She went to a movie with Brian.
She goes with me all the time. She hangs out. And Jim. Me and Jim have little parties.
Went to a movie?
I did ask
Jared. Really? Now we're both offended.
Pointed at Nathan and said,
"You asked me to a movie before. You just didn't want to go see a Lego movie with me."
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome. I'm sorry.
Sounds like they'd be willing to see it again.
Hey,
it does sound
Nathan,
that way.
Nathan, would you like to go see a movie with me this week?
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, Shays, do you guys want to like maybe go see the Lego movie after we finish recording?
I can't. I literally have to drive
to Indiana
tonight.
Hey, Jeremy's wife, do you want to go see a movie with me?
Sure. Okay. The other thing is, I'm not your friend's wife. I'm your friend.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
But feel free to refer to him as Jeremy's wife from now on.
Also, Jeremy is our friend's husband.
Order and
oh, that was glorious.
That's why I want to do the intro.
I'm so glad that happened.
It's like my Facebook poll. I made that Facebook post. I got 60 comments because I knew we'd get a reaction.
That
you make
was
a post.
Fantastic.
You put out a little bit of bait, and you're gonna track the helpless victim. He walks into it, says something stupid, and 60 comments later, it's Facebook polled.
I was the stick.
At the end, you were.
By the way, I have decided that he likes being the center of attention of douchebaggery, because otherwise, why would he respond to things like that?
I don't know why the entire community doesn't just unfriend him. Like, why is he... I look at how many mutual friends I have with him on Facebook, and they're all people that... hate him.
He is my friend on Facebook so I can have 60 comment threads.
That was a golden thread.
I did not read it. I just heard about it.
I wanted to put a post in there, but my conscience.
Wait. There were things you didn't say, because the things you did say in that thread were fairly impressive.
I posted something that I kept very straightforward or whatever, and then I said, you know what, even that, I just don't want to be involved, so I ended up deleting my post, even though I think I kept it very...
Because he did, you got brought up a little bit.
You did get brought up a little bit.
Yeah, like out of nowhere. Yeah. Like all of a sudden, he's like, Nathan's fuck him, that guy. I'm like, what? I'm not even in this conversation.
You're in the other room and getting insulted. Hey.
I wanted to jump into the thread and say something, but I was like, no, then it's starting to look like just the crippled system punching bag thread.
Yeah, I'll stop. It did look like it was coming straight from Wisconsin.
Well, because Travis would jump on it.
Because Travis jumped in too, yeah.
I did like that he responded to my post and called me a liar, and then he edited it and called me an exaggerator. Because what I said had actually happened.
Facebook edit history is hilarious.
The Mayhem Cup.
Yeah.
The Mayhem Cup. But the scenario table incident is my favorite interaction with you and him. It's like where you got to choose your side.
Yeah.
And then he calls over everybody to the judges to change the terrain after you chose your side.
Not to interrupt, but this is all funny to us. Some people know what we're talking about and may be offended, and other people are just confused as hell what we're talking about.
Wait a minute, I have a very question. Did he agree with you that the one list that he said was sucky would make a good third list?
No, he said that it takes no skill or talent to be able to win by just spamming a bunch of stuff. Because I mentioned that this is coming from the same person who made the Vanguard list. Well, whatever. Because the point is, the list that we were discussing is very spammy. It just has a million of whatever small. It's a swarm list, and I mentioned that, you know, hey, it comes from the same person. He was suggesting, well, if you drop two of the units and put in this jack, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like,
I don't want to spam infantry.
This list is supposed to be goofy fun. It's the same person who made the Vanguard list. And he's like, well, it doesn't take a lot of skill to win with a list that's just spam something cheap. And I'm just thinking, I'd really like to see you beat Epic Haley with a Stormwall using nothing but fucking Vanguards. That takes a little bit of skill.
It does.
But whatever. I'm dropping, like, every time I'm just dropping all interactions at a certain point with that person.
Because, and yeah. Moving on, I see we have intros. Yeah. I am Katie Badhorse on the forums.
I'm Jeremy Valiant Fornade on the forums.
I am Andy Major Tusk on the forums.
I am Brian Carnage for you. I play Scorn. Yay.
Yay.
And I'm Nathan Ridia Fan, and I play Convergence.
You do.
I do.
So pretty soon you'll have a corollary.
Yeah. That'll I play cool, pigs but also, but not this year. Yeah. So it depends when Helga pig comes out.
There is a female pig that looks badass.
She looks pretty awesome.
Corollaries were on sale for up to 3 or 4 minutes at a TupperCon.
That's true.
Are they on eBay right now? I'm curious how high sure those...
Well, they go on sale like in a month and a half. So.
I know. I was. Well, the fucking upgrade kits at Gen Con a couple years ago when they first came out with the Character Jack upgrade kits, like Triumph and not Malice. No, it is Malice. Yeah. Those things were like $15, but the day after, like after Gen Con ended, people were buying those things for like $100. It's like they're not even tournament legal. They'll be out in 2 months.
At which point they will be tournament legal.
Calm down. Like just proxy it until then. You can't use it anyway.
Yeah.
Like,
well, if they have the money to spend, then that's their money to spend.
It is, but don't. proxy it and give me $100, and they'll give you the kit when it comes out.
The only reason why to purchase something like that was a pre-release at like a privateer event would be if it came with a gold card. Because some of those do come with a gold card.
That would be cool.
That would be the only reason why. Otherwise, the models are fucking the same.
There's one other reason why, which is like... I'm signed up for Masters at Adepticon.
Sure.
My lists have a corollary in it.
Right.
If the corollary is purchasable at Adepticon, I'm going to have to speed paint that fucker in like the 2 hours between the time I buy it and the time I need it. So if I were to pay through the nose to get it now, I'd have 3 months to paint it.
Or you just borrow Travis's because you got one.
Yes. Or that. But hypothetically, that's the other reason.
If Travis to do it. Hey, I'm just saying Travis has a thing. He's cool
Travis
now.
Travis got a
color? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Is he at TempleCon?
No, but he has a friend.
He has a friend. A friend of a friend.
No, an actual friend.
An actual friend.
He has a couple of those.
Adam. None in Wisconsin. I know. It's... None in Wisconsin, but...
No.
I'm his friend. In diplomacy.
In diplomacy, you're his friend.
Well, what's funny is I finally got a game of diplomacy going online, and I'm France, and the other two Madisonians are Germany and Italy, so my only two neighbors, and they both just went... whole hog into me instantly. There was no hesitation. There's like, oh, look, we're both next to Nathan. Fuck that guy! And just dogpiled on me. So
I like to think that I helped them and that make the decision. I may not be in the game, but you guys should just kill Nathan first and figure out stuff later.
Yeah.
Step A, eliminate the asshole and then, go from there.
That's a good step A. You shouldn't do that, Andy.
Don't bang your elbow against the wall.
I only saw one color, right? I can't pronounce it.
Corollary.
There
you go.
Whatever. When I first typed it into eBay, I changed it to Colorado.
How much is Colorado for sale for?
I've only seen one on there, and it's just somebody doing a pre-order.
Oh, okay.
For Colorado?
For Colorado on March 18th.
How much is it going for?
It's a pre-order, so it's retail price.
Yeah. $14 for a state?
I know, that's amazing.
That's a lot of primo real estate.
You guys.
They have mountains and everything. They have a really good football team, I heard.
Yeah. They played really, really well in the Super Bowl.
Hey, they made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they did. Shush.
Yeah. I think if you had a choice of making it there and then playing embarrassingly bad, you might want to just not...
Yeah, just not go.
I don't know. It depends how much you get paid for making it versus how much...
That's true.
I don't know how much their contract bonuses are for making
it. On the bright side, there are a lot of people in third world country with free Denver Broncos championship t-shirts. That's true,
there are. Because they were the favorite by a lot.
Super Bowl champion. Well, there's always.
There's always, but there were probably more made for them than there were for
them. So when they're all doing all their genocide, they'll be wearing the Denver shirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
I went to a dark place.
That's an acceptable thing to say.
I'm sorry. The truth is awful.
Dark things are not supposed to happen until 45 minutes into the podcast.
Also, the genocide, they take the Denver shirt off. That'd be offensive. They just wear their normal shirt. Their normal tank top is when they're killing all the other
people. They wear Hawaiian shirts, so they're like Brian.
Okay, then it's okay.
I need to be drinking a lot more for this before I laugh at what you're saying.
We can smile pretty well, though.
Yeah.
They can't hear a smile.
That's true.
If you can hear someone smile, they always teach you that. Smile on the phone.
Smile on the phone.
Little ding sound, like when the light reflects off the tooth in the cartoons.
So next we are going to do announcements.
Katie's going to be our motivation today, apparently. Do we what announcements do we have?
March 15th, there is a Masters – well, we have a three-list Masters-type event in Madison, Wisconsin.
Sort of a rehearsal dry run for Adepticon for those of us that are going to try.
Also, ironically enough, in Chicago, they announced a three-list same thing. And then March 15th, one of the Downers Grove. I was like,
same day?
Yeah. I posted on Facebook, like, wow, what a great idea to run an event on this day.
Did you link to ours?
No, I didn't.
Because you should have.
I just thought that's a perfect day for an event like that.
Oh, that's when, Felix posted?
No, Downers Grove is Downers Grove.
I saw Felix had an event that somebody, oh, that's the team tournament.
When is
that one?
That's March 8th, I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun.
And I like that he's allowing people to sign up as rogues. You just show up with 25 points and say, I'm here. Who needs a partner?
That's kind of cool. I wouldn't mind doing that. I'd like to grab a couple team members and go down.
Tower Games might do an event March 22nd, which we're talking about. Because we went up to Rochester, Minnesota, did a tournament, and Jamie was saying they might do an event on March 22nd in Tower Games.
Yep.
But that's not for sure yet. That's just a maybe.
Jeremy has gum.
I don't.
I swallowed mine.
You just swallowed your gum.
And here's a live announcement. Round three of the Masters, John with Butcher 3 versus Will with Assyria.
John, Fat Asian John?
Yeah, Fat Asian versus Will Pagani.
So he is playing.
So when you listen to this, you're like, oh yeah, I know who won. See, we don't yet. That's the exciting thing.
Yeah. We currently are...
Fat Asian playing Kador.
Yes.
Versus Pagani playing Rhett.
Are two of the four people in the final two rounds.
Fat Asian went to TempleCon, did not bring any models with him, and Nigel said, well, here are all my models, and I'll play you, son of a bitch.
Play
Kador. Oh, okay, that explains
how dare you duck.
And so Pagani just reversed his retribution.
Well, because Assyria is not that good, but for some reason he'll play Rhett in Masters now that she's out.
And he's playing her right now.
Interesting, because he said he hated Rhett and thought they were garbage.
And they were boring.
And
Assyria is not that good, if you ask him.
Yeah. So she's not good, and Rhett's crap.
Boring.
But he's playing...
both of those things. And I will say, I do like his pairing of Virus 2 with Assyria. I've been trying to figure out who she'd pair with well, and I've come back to either Virus 2 or Ossian every time. So, I think he's at least got a good list pairing.
He's also got the advantage, as being as a really good player that he is, he's also playing a model that really nobody really knows.
Which is a strength. So, it's a good thing.
I don't know the rest of the list, but I don't see what Assyria really has to deal with Butcher 3. Because it's not like he shoots.
He's locked into Assyria. He played Virus 2, so it's round 1 and 2.
He could have done his other list 2, whatever it is.
Oh, he could have. That's true. I didn't think about that.
He figured it's John playing a faction. He doesn't know he's doing this. He's like, I can just take whatever. It's just
Assyria can play, if it's not Killbox, she can play way, way, way back.
And then she doesn't have an army anymore.
Well, Butcher 3 doesn't help his army, and she does help hers. So he may think he can win attrition with her hiding in the back.
Maybe.
We'll find out.
I also don't know if he's playing her with a Colossus or whatever. I haven't seen the list, so...
Well, if he starts the game with a Colossal, he won't have a Colossal for long.
No, exactly. Like, if he's not playing with a Colossal, he's in better shape against Butcher 3.
Probably. Because that's a lot of points that Butcher will just kill
without
breaking a sweat.
Yeah, and then feed and be back up to full camp and say, ha-ha.
Well, I think we're all missing the very important announcement, is that my birthday month is...
In full effect.
I have a pile of gifts already piled up for you, so you can stop playing my machine whenever you want.
It's getting expensive for him. Yes. I did talk on the subject of Katie's birthday month. We were hanging out with Jamie at the event, and he said that it is his new goal to supersede Keith as Katie's bestie. And he was pumping me for information on how he could achieve that. And I informed him that gifts were definitely the key to Katie's heart. And he said that he does love Katie, and he wants to be her bestie anyway, but stealing it from Keith is really the icing on the cake in this particular situation. So she may be getting a gift from Jamie next time she sees him.
Yes.
How come nobody wants to be my bestie?
Travis already is your bestie.
They know they can't steal that role from Travis.
Hey, Travis.
But anyway, it's really exciting. And then I was going to play Wednesday night, but I was impatient and didn't want to wait for other people to show up. And everyone that was there is already playing a game, so I'll be there this Wednesday.
I was there.
You were feeling like shit, and you looked like...
Yeah, you looked like you didn't even want to play on Wednesday.
I did play a game, and that lasted like 2 minutes.
Yeah, that worked not well for you.
No, it worked well for me. I murdered my...
Oh, family. You won?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I went to go say bye, and you're like, I really don't want to be here, but I have to run this stupid tournament.
Because our league started this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I missed it. I'm going to miss this Wednesday, too.
I'll miss this Wednesday, too. It makes you feel any better.
Stupid not having any employees.
Stupid being on a trip.
Well, that's what happens after holidays. You just...
Everyone leaves, yeah.
Like, you're worthless.
My store has single-digit total employees right now.
That's not good.
Like, total. Store manager's done this coming Wednesday. The other manager is on medical leave for 3 months. So as of this Wednesday, we have no management. I'm the only person in my department. Like, it's disastrous. Wow.
If we drive by and see a for sale sign in the window, we'll know why.
This is when you ask for a raise. You're like, yeah. You can go down another.
I'm sure I'm getting one. That's like the last thing he's doing. Because I know the reason I'm down to one, to just me and my department, is because the other person in my department asked for a raise. They're like, I deserve a raise. And my boss is like, no, I spent all my effort getting Nathan a raise. You don't get one.
That's like, exciting.
Oh. And so that guy quit.
Well, yeah. Like you would.
Yeah.
In that situation.
Yep.
So, any other announcement type things we have going on right now? I can't think of anything offhand.
No. Just have the Winter Rampage for our Madison crew for the league.
Yep.
That's going on.
Yep, and for any locals that are listening.
I don't know if we have anything else other than the three.
Well, those of you that are pseudo local got... Well, I guess that's the big thing local. I don't know what
exciting
I think. I had a thought and then I lost it. I don't know. It was a derailed train.
Announce what the literary term is.
Oh, right. So we were trying to figure out what the term is for somebody who doesn't know things before we fired up the mics, and you have to explain things to them, and it's a plot device in the movie. It turns out the name of that character is the Watson.
It is the Watson.
It is named after Watson and Sherlock Holmes. And it's the character's job it is to ask questions the audience would be asking in that same situation, and who by the device of the movie, wouldn't actually already know. Because if they already knew, it would be dumb for them to ask.
That way the audience can learn the information without awkwardly having it explained directly to them in a fourth wall breaking mechanism.
Correct.
Like almost every Star Trek.
It does say that in general, female variants of the Watson will have a bit more character development and a larger role. And she will inevitably be attractive.
Larger role.
Yeah, that too. Your hands are doing the role she has.
Huge
tracts of land.
Women with large tracts of land. I want to see Melissa. What?
Oh. What?
Well, no, the whole.
Felicia does not have huge tracts of land.
No, she does not.
No. We talk about people. All right, continue.
Her tracts of land are like a Brooklyn apartment.
She was in the news this week about some stuff, and the way you're talking about women, describing women that way, is she got a haircut, and so she has short hair now.
Nice. Yeah.
What?
Okay. So there's they put up this before and after picture. Yes. So this news article put up a before and after picture of her. The problem is the before picture with long hair was another redhead with his bigger breasts.
Was a different person?
Yeah. She looked, she had similar looks to Felicia Day, but she was not Felicia Day. So then Felicia Day is like, well, thanks. So before, so basically they're like, you can't even tell right at the part because, you know, you can't tell me apart at all.
Yeah.
And the before picture was just a similar looking person, just bigger breasts.
Wow.
And then it's actually really, really cute.
Yeah. But there's this whole shenanigan thing about all these people.
Oh, they can't tell women who Felicia always, Day is.
Oh, yeah.
People
in
general look better with the shorter hair. Women, nothing longer than shoulders.
Oh,
men,
no. I prefer long hair on women. Long hair on women.
I like long hair.
Nice little pixie cut.
No.
Depends on the woman.
No.
It does depend. Because some people don't have the fit. Like, she has really good bone structure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if rounder faces don't look good with shorter hair, in my opinion.
The uglier the woman, the more hair to hide the face.
Wait, cousin it?
Wow.
I know the cure for that. Look at that cousin it. I'm on a roll today. I'm sorry.
So anyway, that's the Watson, for those of you that were wondering.
I.e. just us.
Just us. Yes. Well, it's theoretically possible that someone else also has wondered about that and couldn't find it on the internet.
Well, we had a good 10-minute discussion trying to figure it out.
We did. We were sitting here for a while trying to figure it out.
And it was bothering the fuck out of us.
Apparently, there's a similar role called the Snark Knight, who instead of asking questions, makes snarky observations about things the audience wouldn't know, who fills a similar role in some shows.
Oh, yeah. Like, they call attention to plot holes before the audience can.
Yeah, they call attention to something the audience doesn't know, but they all do. But they're supposed to be joking and snarky about it.
Is there an example of that?
It doesn't give a good example of the Snark Knight, unfortunately.
I can't think of anything.
This isn't necessarily the same thing, but it's the same mechanism as, like, in Trials and Tribulations when somebody asks, why do the Klingons not have bumpy foreheads when you do now? And they're just like, well, we just don't like to talk about that.
Right.
It's a character in the show dismissing the question before the audience can.
But that honestly is one of my favorite episodes. Well, Star Trek, that's why
I knew you'd get that one. But.
We don't talk about that.
I mean, it's
a Southern
because of the mechanism of it, but Sigourney Weaver calling out how stupid the Smashers are and how they serve no purpose in the bowels of their spaceship. So okay. It would be like
yes. Yes.
In obviously, Galaxy Quest is a satire. Snark
all around, yeah.
But other movies would do a similar thing where they're like, "Well, why does this even exist?" And it's like, "Don't worry about it. It does. Just move on with the plot." And that way, the audience isn't allowed to ask that same
question.
Whoever wrote
this episode should be shot.
Yeah.
Even the link to Snark Knight doesn't give an example.
But it's that kind of thing, but yeah. More straight faced.
It would definitely be the main character in the bitch in Apartment 23. She is often her and James Vanderbeek often explain things that the audience wouldn't know in a snarky way. If you've ever watched that show.
It is an amazing show, by the way.
Katie really likes it.
I would highly recommend it.
So. Anyway.
It's fascinating.
Fascinating literary exposition from the Crippled System podcast. Just what you always wanted.
Because everything is awesome. You did lose me at Apartment 23, and then you won me with James Vanderbeek.
Right?
So. He's amazing in that show.
He is amazing in that show.
Literally amazing.
I've never heard of it.
And Kristen Ritter is hot.
Also true. Yeah.
That's which a great show. Is that the B or is that
the B in Apartment
23?
It's over. It's on Netflix.
It might be on Netflix. Yeah, it's really good. James Vanderbeek is amazing in that show.
True story.
He deserves an Oscar.
Kristen Ritter was also good in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Which I only saw the first part of the first episode.
Oh, she was, what's her name?
The landlady kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. That we can't talk about without spoiling.
She was a fan of George O'Keefe. That's all that really meant.
Anywho, heard that you guys were at an event yesterday.
Katie is just moving us along today.
Katie is the director.
Jeremy.
We'll be real pro here. I'll know that, like, at one point in time, literally all four of you guys were talking simultaneously, like, a minute ago.
That would never happen.
We're pro podcast right here.
That's how you know we're a professional podcast. So, who wants to talk about the event first?
Well, you, me, and Jordan.
Jordan, who's not here, sadly.
He's been on once or twice.
Yeah, he's been on a couple times.
Rochester. It was about 3.5 hours from here.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 10-man event.
Yep.
I took my Scorn. You took your Legion. He took his Kador.
Yep.
In Minnesota,
it's pronounced Kador.
Kador.
Kador. It's also pronounced everybody plays it, apparently.
That is also true.
I will say, when I went there, I forgot that everyone plays Kador.
Yeah, me too.
Luckily, it didn't really affect my day, but it was one of those things where, oh yeah, I'm in Katorville.
I definitely experienced something I've never seen from Kator before. I can talk about when I guess.
It was only three rounds all summer. I'll just go through all three.
Yeah, go through yours real quick.
Round one, I faced a Kator player who was kind of shocking.
There's going to be a pattern.
No. He was playing the Butcher 1 theme forest, no quarter with all the Black Dragons, which I faced. I pulled my Xerxes list out. I did change my Xerxes list up. I put in Centrati, a full unit of them, instead of two Minar Accurarii. But it's been the same Xerxes list I've talked about a lot. Spamming his cataphract units. I got to go first, though, and it really changed. When I faced it for Ben Lang went first, and that army already has advanced move. So when you have advanced move and you go first, you're so far up the field that I was very happy I didn't have to experience that again. So I went first. I basically got better board position, and then he was a newer player. This is only his second tournament and the first time playing the list.
He needed
to learn a little bit about it. But I basically overwhelmed his army and crushed him. I mean, that's kind of how the Xerxes list works,
which is not something that should really happen to the Claws. Like, in general, the Claws of the Dragon list doesn't get overwhelmed.
No, well, even with Ben, eventually we even went first. But my list can just endure so much.
Well,
so
your Xerxes list is unusual in that effect. I think most lists would not do that.
No, I think it's a very legitimate list, and I think it'll threaten a lot of people in tournaments.
Yep.
But that was round one. Round two, I played another Scorn player who specifically requested. He's been watching my threads on my Xerxes list, so he wanted to see it in action. So I let him basically.
You let him pick the list. Yeah, he was playing against in the tournament.
Playing against. I told him to play whatever he wants, and he played Epic Hexorus with a couple beasts and some Incendiaria, and basically same results. I mean, the only thing I like about my infantry, he set a lot of my army on fire. Like I set my opponent's army on fire. But when you're medium infantry with enough hit points, you can stay on fire for quite a few turns. So my guys are basically burning to death, just killing his guys.
Yeah.
So it worked out pretty well.
When you're being murdered by people who are on fire, that's got to be like psychological.
Yeah. They should cause fear when they're doing those kind of things.
But while on fire, they are abominations.
So I got ahead of him on beast. So he was forced to bring his caster into the fray, and then Tiberian got to his caster and killed him.
Question for you as a Scorn player. What do you think Scorn can do that's a good answer to that Xerxes list?
His other list was Makeda, too. He could have really just tried some shenanigans with her. I'm curious how that'll play out.
Molokarn missile, basically?
Molokarn missile and trying to... Or even like Makeda 1, where Molokarn can fly and kill two or three guys and zoom back out. I really wonder if I can encompass that fast enough.
Okay.
Yeah, Molokarn being able to, with his Weaponmaster, should be able to take out
One hit should kill. He should kill a guy. He should be able to kill three or four guys and sprint. Or not sprint, but use his Animus.
Or
sprint if there's an Arcanine on there. Yeah, or whatever. He has options to get away.
Yes.
That could be a problem, but I haven't faced that yet.
Okay.
Around three, I faced. I was technically the last two undefeated, so I faced Herx player, an Edeni player. So I got to bring up my mortar. I constantly switch up my Mordekaiser list, trying to find a good anti Krix list. And on Wednesday night, the list I played, I beat Dan. Well, kind of. You know, we played a game where I was playing my new Mordekaiser list versus Gatsby list, and my list did extraordinarily well. We called the game before it was over, but I had survived his feat, and I was up on attrition, and it would have been like another hour to finish the game. Like, well, let's just say, you know, I win and we'll just
call it a day.
We don't waste another hour and a half to eke it out because we forgot we didn't time it.
Yeah,
but again, see Denny. I mean, I have a bunch of Immortals up front. I have Banishing Ward on my front line. I have Reavers in the list. I have two Void Spirits, which did cause his Raiders to flee.
Nice.
He comes in me. I don't feed on turn two because he's going to feed on turn two, so I actually hold my feet for the following turn. So he locks me and kills my front rank, but then I feed and he can't kill my next rank because I feed it and he can't hit me.
Yeah.
Because his Krix can't hit high defense.
Yeah, because Mordekaiser, yeah.
I killed most of his Biles that turn, and the only Bile I was too far back to be a threat. And then I actually was up on him in attrition. I went for a caster kill with multiple Essence Blasts, Drake's firing at him, and Reaver shooting at Denny on one focus, and I just couldn't roll a 9 on 3 dice. Many, many times.
That's unfortunate.
And then I lost. It was hilarious.
That'll happen.
My only thing sad was his name's Shen. He's a good player. He has a very solid foot. I mean, if you're an average or good, decent Krix player, you can run the gauntlet in a lot of metas because it's Krix, and if you understand how they play, you can be very, very dangerous. But when I roll 10 attacks on his caster needing 9s and they all missed, he's like he didn't see where I had a good risk a chance on him, so I feel bad that I didn't kill him for the fact that I don't think he learned that he put his, because if he would have walked his caster away from me the turn before,
then
he probably would have been safe.
Yeah,
but he left his caster in the wind.
Yeah,
I rolled a bunch of dice on him. You know, when you need 9, that's a pretty good odds. 9 on 3 dice
boosted 9s, yeah,
on multiple attacks and all missed.
Yeah.
So he got lucky. He's like, I guess I knew you'd fail. how do you can't bet on those kind of odds. But anyway, so it was still a fun day. Met some cool people out there.
Yep.
I'll say Jordan's day. Jordan lost.
Jordan
could not kill a behemoth with his Colossal.
Yeah, he put a fully loaded Conquest into a behemoth and failed to kill it, or cripple either arm or the cortex.
Yeah, it was.
And then behemoth went, oh, look, a Colossal! Munch.
That's Jordan's day.
That was Jordan's day.
It's a pretty good.
Good job, Chort.
So game one, I played against the same Krix player, Shannon, so spoiler alert, I probably didn't win. He was playing Terminus, and I dropped my Saren list, which is... I feel has a really, really good game against Terminus. I have two Scythians to take down Animus. I wasn't worried about it. I was crushing him on attrition really, really hard. Both my Forsakens had gotten in and done a blast where they each killed five or six Mechanothralls. My Scythians had just wiped out entire armies. It was going great. I hadn't lost anything. And I had Saren far enough away with the cloud from the Gobbers that he couldn't get to me. And what I forgot was there's actually gobbers inside of that gobber cloud that are chargeable.
Yeah.
And he can see. Saren should not be within 4 inches of said gobbers. She should be far enough back that when he charges the gobbers, he cannot also reach her.
So, yeah, well,
it's just 3 inches then.
I would call that 3 inches. I would call that placement 101.
Yes.
Depending on, because his base is 2 inches, so he get a half. He'll get a half inch, and then he'll get his base is 2 inches, and then he'll have 2 inch reach. So depending on the angle.
Depending on the angles. But anyway, he got me by a quarter of an inch, half an inch. I was way too close. And the thing is, what I always forget about Terminus is in order to come at me, he flew over a Scythian, over another beast, over two or three more free strikes, and Terminus just doesn't care.
No.
Not even a little bit.
When he's sitting on that much armor, he just...
He just full camps, and he just doesn't care.
There
was no point feeding against my army. He was going to get, a soul.
Even just sitting on 6, I mean, what's his natural armor, 18?
I think so.
So, you know, he's 24. Yeah.
And hilariously, the Scythian rolled snake eyes on the free strike anyway, so it didn't matter. But in my mind, I was I'm behind the cloud, I can't be charged, I'm far enough away, even with the Corbeau move, he can't walk to me, it'll be fine. Oh, he charged the gobbers. Of course that happened. So, anyway, live and learn. It's literally something that's never happened to me, playing my Saren list with the gobbers. It's just no one else has ever had that opportunity. So I just need to play her slightly further back against a caster with flight.
I know I've done similar things against you when... What were you... Yeah, when you were playing your Rhett and you had like your polarity shield up on,
and you would charge other things.
I would charge other things, and then,
and that is a similar issue. Yeah. And I just didn't. I'd never made the translation, so yeah. You know, live and learn. It was something I didn't know.
But in general, that's something to be careful of when you're facing things that have two attacks.
Yeah.
And you're not chargeable.
That's good or multiple good advice for other people,
two or
too.
More. Yeah.
Did the gobbers pass their abomination check?
They didn't take it because we decided that after he killed my caster, we didn't care. he was like, charge attack with my fist. Saren has two transfers, and I've got all my focus. Bank, 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 bank. No more Saren.
He's still only a match six, right? Is he a seven?
I think he's a seven. Either way.
Does he have malediction up?
He had malediction up.
Yeah, plus two, plus two.
He had malediction up. He didn't even need to boost to hit Saren, sadly. Like, it was just super bad times for her.
Well, I don't know. Nine's a pretty, it was like a nine. That's an impossible number.
It is an impossible number to roll.
But only if it's boosted.
That's true.
That was your problem. That you were rolling three dice looking
for
nine.
You wanted to roll two.
Yeah, that's what I should.
So, I wound up in the loser's bracket. Round two, I played against a guy named Stacy, another local Minnesota guy that I've never played against. We played close quarters. Kara Sloan versus Evale. I did bad things to him with my Ravagor. Turn one, he moved up Gorman on the flank. Popped his cloud and was like, all right, I'm going to put the Black 13th and a Stormcaller in the cloud so they all have stealth.
Good job.
So the Ravagor targeted Gorman and killed all three Black 13th and the Stormcaller.
And Gorman?
No, because he's immune to fire.
That's
Gorman
right.
Just sat there and went, I don't care.
Well, all my friends are dead.
What happened to all my friends? Where'd everybody go?
Yeah, he's just put up a targeting flare.
Yeah, he's basically
Gorman actually did.
Yeah, Gorman's def 14. I don't care about stealth. I don't care about the flag. I was just like, gee, I wonder if I can boost to a 9. I can.
that's a pretty amazing number.
So yeah, and then the only thing that threatened me the whole game was he did at one point get the entire unit of gun mages shooting at my stealth evale. But I had two transfers, and they were far enough away they couldn't do crit brutal, so it was fine. He didn't come close to killing me. After the Ravagor did that, the next turn he killed Junior because he thought Junior was far enough away. Spoiler alert, 14 inches plus a 6-inch move is really far, and he just did not account for that. So he killed Junior, dropped the armor buff. Two angels went in and each took out an arm on the Stormwall, and then the game just went my way. Like, it was just over at that point. So, good game. Good opponent. I actually wound up winning on scenario because he kill-boxed Kara Sloan trying to keep her alive. So
sure, that'll happen.
That'll happen.
Yeah. Range 14 Ravagors will...
Yeah, do scare Kara Sloan pretty good.
Ravagor's fair.
Yeah. It's a fair and balanced beast. It costs 10, Nathan.
Yeah.
It costs 10.
No. Oh, okay.
Game 3, I dropped Evale again because the whole point of this tournament for me was to get some practice with Evale. I didn't want to drop her against Crix round 1. But I played against P. Sorcia. They play a ton of Kador up there, and I don't see Kador other than our Jordan, who plays like 3 lists, maybe. Usually just 2.
So P-Source is good.
Well, Rick used to play...
Rick used to, but and I haven't played against Rick in a long time.
He plays down there now.
I just haven't bumped into Rick or played a game with him forever. Anyway, he played a variation on Nigel's Ocean's 18 list. I did not realize he would have the ability to cripple the spirit on 3 different beasts in the turn she feeded. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
He was just like, I have every sniper in the world, and he crippled the spirit on 2 angels and a Scythian all on that turn. And I was just like, oh, well, shit.
That's when you use your stones to just heal them.
Well, it doesn't matter. They can't shake the stationary if their spirit's out at the beginning of the turn.
Yeah.
And so they just lose their activation. It's bad times.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty bad times. Not something I'd run into before. So anyway, he was playing all of the solos, though, and that list just eats solos. So, like, I said, my Harrier killed, like, 4 solos over the course of the game. He was like, that beast is just unfair. I was like, yeah, it's awesome. It was just every turn, Animus Charge, Animus Charge, Animus Charge.
It's unfair against a list that's nothing but high-defense solos.
Yes.
It's not that impressive against, like, Jax or Centradi lists.
Yeah, anything with real armor, it's a pow 10.
Multiple wounds with heavy armor.
And how adorable, 18 solos.
Yeah.
16 solos, 13 solos, 4.
Happy birthday, Harrier.
Yeah, so the Harrier had a good time. At the end, what won me the game was at the end, I had to put a Scythian, an Angel, a Afflictor, and the Ravagor into Behemoth to kill it, and I still barely killed it, but killing that, just the game was over. Most of his solos were dead. Sorcia did get like an end run through all 4 of those beasts at my caster, but you can't take 4 free strikes from all those beasts and live through them.
Yeah. So it's a fun event. The event was held at a Godfather's Pizza.
Which was actually really we laughed about it, but it was really well set up situation.
They have a whole entire back room. They have a whole back room where it's just they have enough for they could hold probably 16, 20 people.
I would say 20 would be.
And
max.
As long as the reserve of the room, all they have to do is guarantee that the people there spend at least $50 on food there during the day. which is not that hard to do because it's a pizza place.
And they do a buffet where you can keep going to the buffet the whole tournament and keep getting soda the whole tournament.
Dude, what?
Yeah. What? It was pretty awesome.
Nobody told me.
It was awesome.
I would have quit my job and gone up with you.
But yeah, so no, they were really good people. Yeah, a few of them I had met before because I've seen, like, you know, Jamie and
Jamie's the only one I knew.
But it was nice to just meet them. I haven't been up there for quite a while, so hopefully we can go up more.
Yeah.
They have an event about every other month or so is when they have events there.
And you were telling Jamie, I don't know if it'll happen or not, but we were going to try to make it up the next time to do an event there at Tower Games.
Yeah. It's always I told them in winter you can't. It's just too hard to be for sure in winter because it did snow. I mean, the last half hour
of that drive was miserable.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Speaking of events,
Andy.
Andy had an event.
Andy had an event.
I had an event yesterday. I went to go see Manowar, and it was first what happened with Manowar. They had a show over in Michigan on Friday that got canceled, so they were going down to Chicago the next night for Saturday. The venue for them ended up closing, so they had to move the venue the day of over to a different location. They also got more people that went to the show in Michigan on the canceled show got a chance to drive down to go to the Chicago one. So it was packed inside the room. Manowar is a decent show, but they were like every song was an encore. So they would come out and play one song, and then they leave the stage.
What?
And then they come out and play another song, and then they would leave the stage. They would come out and play an intro video for something.
And then leave the stage.
And then that was like...
They had to get their fix in between
each
song.
And then, they would play the intro one of the videos for the show. Because it's the Kings of Metal anniversary tour, their 30th anniversary of that album. And that intro video was like 4 seconds out of sync.
Oh, jeez.
So
they spent like half the show off stage.
Yes,
like
it was pretty horrible. And then they come out, the show started late, obviously, because they had to change venues. They came around to about 10:30, and they're like, "All right, guys, thanks a lot. We're having a good time." And the show started like at 8:30. So it was like 2 hours for an $85 show.
Jeez.
And, a half hour of that, they weren't even on stage.
Yeah. I mean, they showed like a big encompassing video at the very end. You're like, okay, well, I guess they're really not gone. Nope, then the lights came on. Like, what the fuck? Really? We drove down there. It was about a 3.5 hour drive to Chicago because we had to drive 45 all the way there because the roads were absolutely horrendous. Every time I drove under an underpass with my car, I would swerve.
Right, because all of a sudden there was traction, and your car would get confused.
Yeah, so that sucked. When we got to the venue, we were late because the venue was supposed to open at 7. We got there about 7:45 or so. We sat outside of the venue, two blocks away in a giant line in our sweatshirts.
Oh.
It was like 16 degrees out. We thought we would be able to go in right away, so I like left my jacket in the car, and no, that wasn't the case.
So you had like a 3 hour crappy snowy drive.
Yes.
Then
a 6 hour,
that's what I was getting. A 3 hour drive, half hour to 45 minutes of standing outside in your sweatshirt, yep. A 2 hour show, a half hour to an hour of which the band wasn't even on stage, and then a 3 hour drive back home.
Yep.
But did you have fun?
Kind of. Kind of. I did not have $85 worth of fun.
No,
that was more than $85 because there was food and gas and parking.
Yeah, well, I count that as a trip. I mean, that's fine. But the ticket price was way too fucking expensive as compared to when I went to go see Manowar in Cleveland like 2-3 years ago.
And
that was a better show.
Was it like a $60 ticket and then a $25 Ticketmaster service charge for the privilege of printing out your own ticket after navigating your own way to the website and doing everything on your own?
It was actually $75 plus 10.
Wow. The Ticketmaster service charge.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You literally did nothing, Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You brokered this ticket, that's all you did.
How does that cartel still exist?
It wasn't Ticketmaster, though. It was the club ticket.
Whoever. Same thing.
But, yeah.
Well, they should just build it into the price of the ticket. Like, I would feel better if they had just told me that it was $85 to begin with, and not that $10 was going to Ticketmaster.
Yeah, I agree with that. It'd be much better just hiding that fee.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, that's what they do with shipping now. They're like, it's free shipping. But the cost of the product's just $10 more.
So they
play. What? And it depends how you do it. Like, I hate it at restaurants. Like, I understand when you have a big group and they build the 15% into it.
Sure.
And I understand that, and I completely support it, because otherwise they might get screwed or whatever, right, because nobody can agree on what percentage they should put in for the tip or whatever. But they call it a gratuity, and it's like, by definition, it isn't,
because
you're making me do it.
So it's not
I
optional.
I wouldn't mind if they called it like a 15% service charge.
Yeah.
Charge has been added. Then I wouldn't mind. I'm just angry that they call it a gratuity.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like 18%. I was like, well, what if you did a shitty job and you really only deserve 10%?
Yeah.
Like, not only you're giving yourself an above average.
So to quickly go over kind of what kind of a concert going experience I had. Manowar, when I saw them in Cleveland a couple years ago, they played, I think, 25 songs of their album. And this is the first time they were ever back in the United States in like a 10-year drought. I mean, they don't play here because they don't draw a crowd here. So, but they played 25.
But they get literally stadium filled in Europe.
Yeah,
I mean, they hundreds filled, of 100,000 people in Europe.
Exactly. Yeah. Just they're insane outside of the U.S. But this show was pretty big, so they played like 25 songs at that show. This was the kickoff tour for one of their top albums that they put out, and they played 14 songs.
Yeah. I wonder if there's something going on. Like, they either one of them was going through like drug withdrawals, or if there was some sort of technical difficulty.
I think it was more of technical difficulties, because there was sound issues throughout the whole show.
And they
show.
Were like, maybe if we take a break for a second, they can figure it out. And
yeah.
They just weren't able to.
And they probably got to the point where they're like, fuck it, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I would be too if the sound issue. I mean, the guitars would kick in and you hear like a giant squawk. Like, it's like he just, you'd hear his guitars playing and then they would kick into the solo and you're like, squawk. It's like he just plugged something in. Yeah, I don't know.
And it makes a caw sound, that'd be kind of cool.
Caw.
Caw.
Yeah.
You would like that. The sound an elephant makes.
Mentioned or not, but when I played Terra Mystica at Justin's place a while back, and I said that how they played it really differently, and I was the Fakirs, every time I used my Magic Carpet Flight, I made the caw sound effect, and they were all confused by that.
Why?
But I'm spreading it. Well, because they didn't understand like why I would be referencing elephants when playing as the Fakirs in Terra Mystica.
That is true. It is confusing.
Why? I don't understand. They sound dumb.
It's a valid point, Katie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm glad she's here to make these things.
So that was my Manowar experience.
See, that's why I only go to Alice Cooper concerts, because they're always amazing.
And then Nathan worked on Saturday. Nathan's event was working all
day. I worked 11 hours. Yay!
Yay!
Aren't you lucky?
Yay!
Hey, at least you got paid for it.
Not yet, but I assumedly will.
One would hope. We could have been at TempleCon. Yeah.
Katie, did you want to lean over and tell us it's time to move on to the next topic?
Oh, hey, I heard there was a keynote speech that everyone skipped work for except for me.
I just watched it while
I didn't skip work. I just watched it when I was at work.
I was on a conference call. One earbud went in a conference call. The earbud went into the keynote.
Andy, did you stop assembling models while you listened to the and watched the keynote? Because if so, that counts as you skipping work.
That's true.
I was also I wasn't assembling models, but I was interrupting Brian's conference call with me continually texting him.
Yeah, I was messaging Brian too.
My phone was going crazy on like people trying to give me updates. I'm like, I'm watching this two people. I just set my phone like, I'll deal with this in an hour.
Yeah,
and everyone's going, oh my god!
If somebody was monitoring the texts at our work that day, they were very confused. It's like, new boar. What?
He's on a rhino!
Brian wasn't paying too much attention to the conference call, because in the Twitch feed, I saw a question from Brian.
Yeah. Well, that was towards the end.
Was towards the end.
Some conferences, some meetings you just really don't need to be there for.
I was there for two questions. After 30 minutes, they asked me my two questions, and then I dropped the conference call. I'm like, you know what? I achieved the reason I called into this meeting, and I moved on with my day.
I have a meeting that the only reason I'm there is to make sure that they don't do something without the accounting department's knowledge.
Yeah. So the keynote happened. It was boring.
It was not boring.
Nothing new was announced.
Should we go over the highlights? I mean, I assume the whole world has seen it.
I will say this one thing. I was very surprised that there was nothing in there for the Botcher Games. the new Bodger zombie.
There was not, and there was actually very little information about the new level 7 thing. Although there was a teaser video.
I think that. Well, I will say they did have people doing playtesting. That was like one thing I missed. They actually had
playtesting
going on.
I think that was back home.
No, they were playtesting at TempleCon.
Yeah, I saw a picture of people at TempleCon playtesting.
I thought that was just was Ed, did Ed go.
I thought
that was back in.
Maybe I was confusing their type of playtesting back.
You posted them at the same time.
Yeah, it was the same time. That would have been like, whoa. Yeah. Basically, level 7 Risk is coming out.
Yes.
Yeah, level 7 Risk.
Like Invasion, I think it was called, right? Yeah.
It looked pretty cool.
Yeah, somebody posted they thought it had a very XCOM feel to it.
That was Alex.
Was that Alex Schaefer?
That was Alex Schaefer. We know that guy. He does. He's famous.
Of Clockwork Voxness.
They didn't even comment in our thread about the episode that they were in. Like, they were too cool to come in.
They are that cool.
Did we have a comment about that thread?
About that episode, and neither of them posted in it. Because, you know.
What?
They don't call afterwards.
Yeah.
No, they just hit it and quit it. All right, so I guess so. There's that, and then there's some Iron Kingdom RPG stuff that none of us play, so I don't think we really.
Was cool.
I have NPCs, right?
Well, no, it was more. It was a Hordes version. It was a Hordes version of the rules, and you kind of run around in the wilds.
Instead of being a Jack Marshall, they had like Beast Marshals.
I will buy. The books, and it's one of those things. Like in theory, I would love to. I'd love to play that. We just don't.
That's like you know how the
IKRPG
in the IKRPG you could play as like a Jack Marshall. Now apparently you can play as like a Wrong Eye type character.
Oh, as a lesser warlock.
As a lesser warlock. That's what's in the new book.
Yeah, the book. Yeah. The way they're talking about it being more visceral and more about it being in the wild. It seemed like a really cool idea.
It did. It seemed much more combat oriented.
I don't remember what I did to make Andy angry at me, but it was something.
But everyone else got a soda except you.
He went
and me.
He came back and he gave a Sprite to Andy. And he gave a Sprite to Brian. And he gave a Sprite to Katie, and I was like, oh, I'd like a Sprite. No, and then he went back out. He grabbed a Sprite and came in and walked past me and sat down and started to drink the Sprite that he got.
Yeah, I didn't even get offered one.
Yeah,
no, I did. I pointed to you. You were like, no.
You gave
Katie
a symbol
said no, and you gave one
Katie's
anyway.
Behind me. He
no,
held me.
Then she said yes.
You held it out in my direction, and I was like, ooh. And then you reached past me and handed it to Katie,
which
and
I appreciate.
Then you left
Thank
and got another
much.
One and walked past me and started drinking. No, I don't even want one anymore. You sit back down.
Too late. You're going to have one whether you want it or not.
All right, so let's talk about things in a game we actually play.
So they announced the new Hordes book, Exegesis.
Exegesis.
Nope, I like my name better.
Okay. Your name, the X, triple X. We'll call it triple X.
How's
that?
Vin Diesel,
exactly.
Considering my erection, it might as well have been triple X.
Might as well have been triple X. So obviously some very cool things for the Pharaohs. Are you excited about both of your cool toys?
Yes. We got the, May I have this soda, Andy? Thank you. We got a dwarven death roller.
Originally. I did.
Except with pigs in it.
And I like how they describe that they light your little hogs. There's a fire underneath them, which is how you make them run.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
My problem is, as soon as I showed Xerxes on a rhino, I had so much blood loss. I didn't really know what they showed before. It all kind of blacked out.
Blacked out, yeah. It's a cool-looking model. It looks like it's got a gun. And then, obviously, it's going to have some sort of trample effect.
Yeah. It's got to have something like that because of the giant steamroller.
Probably a power 10.
Probably. That seems legit.
Maybe it actually has, like, a half inch sweep effect in the front arc. It would hit everything within melee distance
of
the front arc.
So it could have, like impact attack, kind of?
I think it's
gonna, it could have similar rules to Lilith 3 with their threshing blades.
Maybe.
It's a weapon and some kind of
bulldoze that does damage effect.
That would be kind of cool.
Because, I mean, a model that, unless it's speed like 12, trampling on a huge base doesn't get you very far. So it really can't trample very efficiently.
Now, remember, this is Pharaoh. It's going to have one POW 10 attack with crit stagger and a slug gun.
12 hit points and it costs 13 points.
Yeah, that's it.
But at least.
But it has to take 6 damage to gain an extra two POW on all of its weapons.
But at least Helga the giant Viking pig looks awesome with her shield of explodiness, her shield gun, and her spear thing.
I love that people on the internet are complaining that she doesn't have enough tits.
I did see that. Like, she's pretty boobalicious. Like, what?
Katie found something horrible on CNN's website and is showing it to me, and it's horrible. This Danish zoo just murdered a perfectly healthy giraffe and fed it to their lions.
Wow. All right,
in front
then.
Of kids.
Was that part of the keynote?
When was that happening? I missed that part of the keynote. All right, then there was the part of the keynote where Brian experienced heavy blood loss. Would you like to talk about
Xerxes on a rhino?
Xerxes on a giant freaking rhino.
Rhino does not go epic. Epic goes Xerxes.
Yeah. That was a great meme somebody put out. And then, of course, he just took his two weapons that his original version had, tied them together with a rope, and called it good enough, based on the picture.
Oddly enough, after I saw the rhino, and I got to sit back in my chair at work, that's the very next thing I noticed is, well, he just took his weapons and tied them together.
Yeah.
Normally people get like Gorshe has open of a god, or people do these crazy things, and just like, nope, I found a rubber band.
Yeah. No, mine's pretty good. I just need to be able to reach the ground.
I have developed string! Like, that's his background in his epic version. Yeah. He's in the woods and he finds string.
Yeah.
And then there were the Warbeast packs.
That's the biggest thing
that's,
to me.
I'm super excited about
that's it. That's super huge. Like, no. That's a new game mechanic.
What? Not excited.
Why not?
Excited? Not excited.
How are you not excited
about that? No troll one.
Oh, yeah, so troll doesn't get one.
What they are, they're a unit, okay, of Warbeasts. Right. Okay. So it's kind of, and they don't have spirals, but they all have like hit points. So it's almost like a unit of Tharn or whatever.
The
leader has a fury mechanic. It's just like a warlock that the other ones can use in the
no, map. No. The Beast Pack uses their... It's not that the leader takes Fury off. They use Fury just like a beast.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But the leader's Fury... Or the Fury stat is equal to the number of models in the unit.
That is true.
But they don't each get it or anything like that.
No, it's shared among the unit.
Right.
So, like, Unit 2 can boost an attack using the leader's Fury.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy's right. I'm kind of... It's not actually, like, tied to the leader in my mind. It kind of... But it is. It's like, if the unit has four guys, they have four total Fury expenditures to the unit.
And then you pull it off with your Warlock just like you normally would.
So can you charge with Fury, or do you charge for free stuff?
Well, I don't know, because they're a unit, and they're beasts. They may have some mechanism where they charge. Yeah, we don't have
pain givers, they charge for free for sure.
Yeah, your pain givers go to hell.
My guess is they charge for free. That would be way limiting if each of them had to pay to charge.
Yeah, and the Scorn ones can't ever get anything in their mouth based on their helmet.
Their helmet's a little bit awkward.
They have to try really hard.
Well, no, they scoop it in with it, and then it shovels into their mouth.
Oh, is that how that works?
Yeah, it's a shovel.
Yeah, I might need to buy all of them.
The Legion one looks amazing.
All of them.
The Legion one clearly has flight, which I'm excited about. It looks like a baby version of the Afflictor, which I'm kind of stoked about.
All
I want to know is why the hell weren't Razor Boars one of these?
Right.
Like, Razor Boars just makes it.
I mean, there might be something similar to it. There might be some kind of pig pack.
Maybe, but I mean, you can't get more pig pack than just taking five or six razor boars.
Yeah. But Warbeast packs are very exciting. Any kind of new mechanical thing is very, it adds a little bit.
Well, and the thing is, I wonder if any of the spells that currently affect warrior model, like model unit, some of those could be really cool. I haven't figured out which one will be broken yet.
How much are they going to cost to take? Because if they cost 10 points, then that.
The cost would be interesting. They may be really expensive.
And if they cost 10 points, I mean...
That's a unit of heavy infantry.
Well, more importantly, compared to a beast, it's a 5-fury beast with 5 initial attacks and, you know...
Assuming they're size 5,
a lot of footprint to scenarios and everything. Yeah. Like, that's really, really good. Yeah. And you can transfer to them. Things that say model unit probably would affect them unless they specifically exclude it. They wouldn't count as warrior.
No, not warrior model, but like model unit. Quicken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, finding out what their cost is going to be, and if they're going to be like 6-man units or 8-man units,
you think they must feel like a 5 or 6-man unit.
Yeah, you think, probably.
They could even be just little trios.
They could be.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It's fun to have this, like, what'll happen next or what will be.
But yeah.
It's neat to see new mechanics.
A super new mechanic is exciting. I'm way more excited about this than I was about,
Sevall
like,
thinks it's
casters.
Stupid, and DC is a bad designer who just shoehorns things in without playtesting them. That's what Sevall said.
I don't know Sevall, but he
I'm
go
sure
to
they just said, you know what? Hey, I bet a week before TempleCon, hey,
they were like, you know what would be a cool idea?
Warbeast packs. We'll announce it. We'll figure it out later.
Because that's how Privateer Press does things.
The new Nephilim Heavy as well.
Oh, God. So you mean Moloch Karn, the Legion Beast?
No.
You know what I like about
the new Nephilim Heavy?
This new mechanic is there's been so much conversation lately about what is Privateer Press going to do to make the game fresh or keep it fresh. And I think this is a really good answer to that. But I don't remember anybody suggesting.
Nobody's ever met, nobody's come, guys, wouldn't it be neat if blank, blank, blank? Like, I haven't heard anybody suggest this before.
The only thing I have...
Complete blindside.
I originally wanted to have a Legion Shredder Alpha. that was going to have that would work like a unit together. That was about the only thing that close to maybe something similar.
I maintain that the Swamp Horror should have been a unit, like Alexia or something.
The Swamp
Horror.
Cool.
He should have had like 8 small bases that were his tentacles mm-hmm. that would run around attacking yep. things.
The Swamp Horror should have been actually a Colossal. It should be on a huge base. As you look at the picture of that inside their Necronomicon.
Yeah, he's huge. The Monstronomicon.
Yeah,
he's huge.
Yeah, he's freaking huge. He's picking up people left and right, and that model looks like a baby
he's
version
so tiny.
Of him.
Okay, wait. So I want to come back to this character Nephilim for a minute, so let me get this straight. Nephilim and Cyclops are both the small beasts in their two respective factions that are generally not fantastic at combat, but okay.
It's a Malakarn, yes. You are correct.
He has 2 attacks. He's a character version that became a heavy.
He's not Malakarn. He is a character Nephilim. Whatever he is. You don't need to compare him to Malakarn because he's better.
Well, that's the thing. No, see, what you should do is you should say he'll be just like Malakarn. So when he's different, unique in his own way, you'll be mad because he's not exactly Malakarn.
I'm excited.
I can't sidestep, but I can't.
I'm excited about the different affinities.
Where's my future sight?
The affinity with Ryas and Saren is a really cool idea. The different affinities.
2 different affinities. That's
and
neat.
I hope that his affinity with Ryas is so good that I actually want to put Ryas on the table.
She has reach now. You should take her.
That'll fix everything.
Oh, whatever. The two problems most people have heard have with her are no Pathfinder. You have Pathfinder on a stick, crybaby.
So it's expensive.
Okay.
Wait. No.
Mm-hmm. You have Pathfinder on a stick in any list you want it to be in.
You can take Pathfinder with her.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it's
flight.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's 2 Fury off of her.
It's 1 Fury for flight.
Oh, flight's 1. Okay. She's still a 5 Fury caster. That's expensive.
And is it ranged self?
It is ranged self, sadly.
Still, yeah. But, I mean,
if it weren't ranged self, I'd be less upset about it.
Yeah.
And the other problem is that her decap is crit decap. That's the other thing that's really hard about her.
Yeah, if it was anything other than that, that...
Or even if it was crit grievous instead of crit decap, because crit grievous, she could, like, go into something until, oh, man, I got it grievous, now put a heavy into it, they can't transfer, like a caster or whatever. But because it's crit decap, it doesn't prevent transfers.
Man, but if you get crit decap against a warlock, you are killing their beast.
Yes.
I mean, they're going to be transferring, like, 20 damage.
That is true. I mean, it's not terrible. I'm just saying that the problem I have with
Ryas. I think she's poo-pooed too quickly. I think Ryas is a decent warlock that people are like, oh, she isn't always Pathfinder, or she sucks. And I think that with not much work, she can be really legit.
But yeah, I'm very excited. The new Nephilims are exciting. The picture of, they didn't say anything about her, but Epic Absalonia looks badass.
Something might have been spoiled about her. I'm not sure if it's
even
serious.
Said that that's officially Absalonia yet?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
They talked at War Machine Weekend that Epic Absalonia was coming out, and they said that instead of warping for herself, she warps for her battle group.
And there was something else where Will was talking to Hacksaw, and he's like, should I spoil something on her? And Hacksaw said, well, tell him that she has Conferred Rage. And he says, okay, I'll tell him. She has Conferred Rage.
I don't know what that is.
That's the Butcher's thing where if he kills something, all his jacks hit +2 speed and charge for free and everything.
Whoa.
So whether that was just them bullshitting and Hacksaw making a joke or whether that's an actual spoiler, I'm not sure.
But that would be an amazing...
Hypothetically, she has Conferred Rage.
And it looks like all of her warps that before she could warp for, she just has. Like, looking at that model, it just has flight.
Yeah.
Like, that model isn't warp for flight, it just flies. So, and it looks like those claws probably just have reach.
That model looks like it's going to be a pain for me to make foam for.
How would she be able to have reach, though?
The claws, because they're long.
Okay, but, like, they're 2 inches?
The claws are... She's got, like, a super long tail as well.
In the old version, she had claws that were much shorter and closer to her arms, and she had stubby little pretend wings.
Yeah, she just looked like a small version
I can see reach on the tail, but I don't know if I would buy reach on her arms still.
Maybe not, but...
Those would be massive.
What is her third warp? I couldn't remember. It's like strength +2 or something?
Yeah, something like that, probably. I don't I get it mixed up, because in Mark 1, she had weird... Oh, no, she still has that. Like, she has the grappling hooks and everything. I don't remember what was Mark 1 and what's Mark 2 with her, because I haven't seen her since Mark 1.
None of us actually play Gators, but the Gator battle engine sounds badass. I almost want to play Gators just to play that battle engine. It sounds really cool.
Just soul collecting doohickey.
From friendlies and enemies and then reanimating dead bodies.
Yep.
Like, that's pretty cool.
The new Warlock has some cool like snake things going
on. Yeah, an undead snake that is its weapon. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, a snake that looks exactly like Scarith. So it's that type of snake. I don't know, maybe it'll be on its own separate base.
It does look like, I hadn't noticed that, but it does.
Yeah.
So it's a Twatzel worm or whatever they're called.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but
so yeah. So that book looks pretty sweet. Then the next thing that was announced.
Oh no, we have to show Katie's one thing. There's one thing for Katie.
Yeah, a bunch of character Lester warlocks.
Yep.
I was actually really excited when he told me about this because you said that they might do something for the Griffins, and it's very coincidental because I had just been talking to Jeremy and Brian about how I was going to make a list that was a bunch of Circle of Griffins and lights, as opposed to just like as a fun, goofy list.
Well, now you have a crazy bird lady to
bring. Una the Falconer.
Now I have a crazy bird lady.
She's a crazy bird lady from Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Why is it that Circle gets some of the most beautiful models?
It's such a pretty model.
I think they're the easiest to make.
This model, I heard, it is the first model designed by, what's his name, Nick Kay? Is it Nick Kay? It's his first, whoever did this model.
The sculptor.
Yeah, the sculptor that did this model.
The concept art, the sculptor.
The sculptor, it's the first one he's done, and it's a beautiful model.
Because they're not meant to be ugly. Like, Legion is meant to be ugly. Crix is meant to be ugly.
Hey. Circle has a bunch of animals, and animals can look really pretty. I mean, they don't have to have weird, grotesque things. You have these wolves and birds, and even, like, the stone structures with the runes and everything carved on them are just a cool, like, it's not.
I do think Una's going to have the same problem Lord of the Feast does, that her bird's going to fall off her arm all the time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Enough glue.
Yeah, it'll hold.
Not mine.
Hers does.
Everything well, I always never, falls I never, off of my
Katie,
stuff.
Katie, did you pin the bird on?
Huh?
Did you pin the bird on the Lord of the Feast?
I have never even put glue to any of my models.
That's my job.
I did not.
Did you pin the bird to her Lord of the Feast?
I don't pin. I don't have the ability to pin.
That's why Andy's bird doesn't fall off.
His horns always fall off.
I got that bird from Andy, though.
But Andy didn't put it together.
Fascinating.
I didn't put it together.
Oh, you didn't put it together. No. And then there's also a character. I assume it's just the character for the Stator pack, because the Stators have a heavy pack now. Or they will someday when you finally get the release of the Riphorn. There's a Stator heavy kit for you.
Yeah, it'd probably be the Stator Alpha, technically.
I hope the Riphorn never comes out.
The Riphorn's really good.
You mean the bronze back?
The nickel back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they like the next thing. Just nickel kidding. They just delete it. That
so
model does not need
I'd
to exist.
I'd be so sad.
It's pretty good.
It was a typo. The whole page was a typo.
April Fool.
We hit a wrong button and it just printed a random page that happened to be a new character or a new beast.
Oh, the troll. Lesser Warlock looks awesome, too.
He has affinity with Elemental Lights, I think.
Just the Pyre's Flag.
I'm not using the generic term, but
just the Pyre's Flag.
Just Pyre's Flag, yeah.
Supposedly cheaper.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And then they show the Highwaymen for Trolls, too.
Yeah.
They look interesting. They look like they might have, like, Prowl or Stealth or something, which would be somewhat unusual in Trolls.
They look like gun mages. They got their, like, dual hand cannons.
They're two guns.
What I think they might be. They might be Trollkin gun mages. Yeah. Which would be very interesting.
I don't see any runes in the picture, so I'm not sure that they'll have like the rune.
Well, none of them are shooting right now.
No, there are. There's one actively shooting, and there's no rune image.
All right, so they're not gun mages, but they're just similar guys with two guns.
Something Jordan said in the car last night, which I think was retarded, and there's no way this happens, was maybe they'll have ambush with two guns each.
I don't see why not. I mean, that's what highwaymen are.
I'm aware of that. They better be like Rat 4 if they have two guns each.
If they're Rat 4 and have ambush, they're Rat 6.
Exactly. So that's why they have to be Rat 4 if they're ambush with two guns each.
Rat 5 and deal with it. I mean, Rat 5 would be within the realm of
not completely ridiculous. Yeah, yes.
Of good, not broken.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair. But I think they will bring something very new to Trolls, is my hope. Because a lot of people have said that Trolls feel like they have a very predictable play style. And I hope that these guys help break out of that, along with the lesser Warlock guy for the Pyres and Slags, hopefully.
Well, it's kind of hilarious is that in the original faction themes and ideas or whatever, when Primal first came out, Trolls were supposed to be the ranged faction.
You've told me that before.
They were supposed to be the faction with all the guns. And then that quickly was ignored in every other expansion book that ever came out, and Legion became the ranged faction, and Trolls became the melee brick. Because they had like they had the Bushwhackers, they had the Scattergunners, they have all these ranged weapons, because the fluff-wise is that they had all this Signar weaponry. So they were supposed to have all these guns, and that just didn't happen. And you're seeing a lot more ranged Troll stuff recently.
That's kind of why I'm wondering if because they have a bunch of Signar weaponry, that we might see like Trollkin gun mages.
Actual gun mages, yeah. I mean, it's possible. I just don't see runes in the picture. But the picture...
You're right.
I mean, it's a single picture, so...
One of them is wearing a hat, so that could...
So he's got... Well, does that have a brim?
It does have a brim.
So stealth is confirmed.
Yep. Well, one of them has no hat at all. So maybe half the unit has stealth.
Actually, the leader has stealth.
It might
maybe
have
they have camouflage. If they're in stealth, they get +2.
No, that's a brimmed hat with a notch.
Prowl. That's Prowl, yeah.
See... If you have a full solid brimmed hat, you have stealth.
But it's a very small hat that he's got.
But the guy that's in the background does look more human, so I'm not sure who that is.
Like a leader of the unit that's not a
troll?
He
does not look like a trollkin in the background.
You have
there.
A point. He really doesn't. That would be interesting.
So I'm curious to know who that is back there.
That might be
an actual gun mage that trained them.
That
would be really
that
cool.
It could be just a gun mage with
a bunch of trolls that work with him.
Or it could just be a random dude in the picture.
Well, it could be, but that would be kind of
cool. Because the swamp
thinking of cool ideas.
With half-eaten dead people, and those were in the picture.
True.
That'd be a cool accessory.
That picture's amazing.
They need to make an ancient swamp horror with a huge base with like a group of like four tentacles. Tentacle small bases that it can use. That has the same coherency of like 4 inches. And they each have reach.
Sure.
That would be awesome.
Oh,
is that everything from the keynote?
That is everything from Horsebook. The other thing was the new, as I called it, the Merc contract.
Yeah, that what you did call that.
I did. No one else said it before me.
It's all Brian all the time.
I was right. Everyone else was wrong. Many people. The two big guesses were Merc contract or horse faction.
Correct.
The horse people were idiots.
Yeah.
I called y'all idiots.
Well, they were just wrong. No, I actually agreed with Brian that it made sense. Yeah.
You told me that you thought it might be a new
at the end.
It made sense to be a horse
faction. It made sense to be a horse faction, but it felt like it should be a Merc contract. Yeah, but they did say there's going to be two new horse factions.
The Cephalix.
Yeah, he confirmed there would be more than one new horse faction. Not necessarily both next year, but he confirmed that there are more than one in the wings.
Huh. Did not hear that part.
Ooh,
yeah. That was in the.
Is that a hint?
No, I don't think he used the term in the wings. Sadly,
In the bugs from zoo.
Yeah.
Wings. That was a hint.
In the giraffe.
The giraffe died.
Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so an army of Cephalix for Mercado. It looks like they have lots of cool things like Cephalix solos are going to boost the abilities of other Cephalix around them. They don't have warjacks. They have what do they call those things?
Monstrosities,
which have all 36 boxes, but they have
10-17
defensive stats. Mat 5, so hopefully they have better ways to boost their hitting.
Well, they've got TK. I mean, the one cast we know about has TK, which is a to-hit buff.
And the other one has, two reach chain weapons, the Monstrosity.
Yeah, and that one's a POW 17. And they talked about having a solo that gives everybody in the faction +2/+2, which would make him a Mat 7, POW 19, double reach, which is pretty legit. That's
I love the fact that they have a unit where the unit leader basically uses the other models to cast spells through them. Every model in the unit is basically an arc node for that leader model.
Also Sackpon.
Yeah. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's neat.
It'd be really interesting to see how these work with the other Merc factions as well. Because, you can have, even going into other armies too, you can have a Denny Cephalix army now instead of like a Denny Pirates.
Well, the big thing they have is that my guess is that the contract will be Cephalix only and nothing else will work with it. Because
I don't think so, because they mentioned Horgenholt, Forge Guard.
Because they did specifically mention that they have ranking officer, basically.
And they're ranking
They have the UA that makes another Merc unit become legal.
And they said it would also make them better.
Well, yeah, and it makes them better, but then if he dies, they automatically flee.
Right.
So because they're building a ranked officer effect into the contract, my guess is without that, nobody would be... Or very few. Like maybe some some Thamorite stuff like Ragman or something.
If it's a contract, I really wonder if they'll let someone else, like another caster, run it though besides just the Cephalix casters. I wonder if they'll
what I'm saying. Like I think it would be Cephalix only.
I don't know. I hope it's if a warlock if a warcaster works for Crix, they'll also be able to work for it.
This will be the big this will be the big contract that works off of Crix based stuff.
Obviously, Cephalix and things that work for Crix.
Yes.
Could even just be things that work for Crix, because the Cephalix, I'm sure, we'll all have will work for Crix.
I hope so.
I don't know. I don't know if they all will, because
are allied.
I'm aware, but I'm mildly terrified that some of the things that they're talking about in here may be a little broken in Crix.
I hope so.
Crix units are broken in Crix.
That's true.
What's worse from this in Crix than Crix units?
None of that stuff will be as good as a Bane Thrall unit.
Right.
I suppose that's fair.
You won't have Styx of Raiders.
Or you can have a Cephalix Bane Thrall unit.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? I mean, if they make it so it's just good, that way it might have a chance to compete with some of the great Crix infantry.
They did describe the one caster that's coming out as basically an E-Haley.
I do love that there's a thread on the Merc forums complaining that they aren't getting a new caster, like a normal human caster, like Majesty or whatever, and they're just like, where do you get anything? It's bullshit.
Like,
what?
Yeah, it's...
except for the entire book in June.
Let's bear in mind that they said this isn't going to be in this book, so it'll be a own separate release.
Cool.
So you're probably still getting a Merc caster in the book?
No, they aren't. They're officially not getting a Merc caster in the book.
That?
And so they're bitching about that.
Oh,
like,
I didn't
We're
I
not
that.
Even getting a caster in this book. Yeah, because you're getting like a million fucking things.
Yeah, you're getting a faction.
Like, you're getting a whole new sub-faction.
When did they confirm no new caster?
At Comic-Con.
It wasn't in the keynote. It was some other side thing. Like somebody, I think it was actually on the forums. Somebody asked for clarification. The guy's like, you're not getting a caster. Like, you're getting this instead. But even still, you know what this includes? A fucking caster.
A fucking caster. That's amazing.
And it, like,
I would assume there would probably be like three casters, kind of like how Pirates is.
Yeah.
How about a caster with confirmed TK when they said Mercs will never get TK because, like, Kayazi. If this caster can take, like, Kayazi...
He'll be able to take Crows, probably, because Crows work for Crix, and then that ranking officer slapped that onto some Kayazi.
And then all of a sudden, TK and...
Yeah.
That's
TK
just...
and two units that have backstrike hurts.
Yeah.
Especially poison backstrike.
So that, then forever playing... No, actually, that doesn't work either. I was thinking I was going to switch over and you start playing Severus, so you can't be targeted by magic attacks. And like, Severus just dies to Kayazi anyway.
Yes.
Yep.
So,
yeah, but he won't get shot in the back.
He'll just get stabbed right in the front.
Yeah.
Stabbed in his fat old man belly.
But it's just amazing how people always find a way to complain. Like, and it's specifically started because, of course, because that's what it always is one of the Rolic players is like, oh, this just means it'll be even longer until we get another Rolic caster.
You just got a fucking Earthbreaker.
You just got a Colossal and a caster and, like, the unit that answers half the questions that your faction... Oh, my fucking God.
But that unit's been out for a year now.
It doesn't count. It's going to be forever until we get another caster. Fuck you.
I will say, though, I don't like the fact where they've been... I like the fact that they're releasing models for factions. I don't like the fact that they've released, you know, the Arcanist Corps, like, a year ago, and the book is coming out now.
Yeah.
It feels...
It's especially long beforehand. Yeah. It used to be kind of like 6 months on either side of the book.
I felt like 2013 had... big release gaps for a lot of people. It was a weird year for releases. I don't know if they were like fixing some of their distribution centers or whatever. It felt like the Riphorn is a good example. Like, it feels like you should be able to buy a Riphorn already.
Is the Scarlet Commander officially out yet?
February,
or was it just so still nothing Crix? Or did I miss something?
No, he'll be when he comes out.
When he comes out, it'll have been like 20 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like 2013 felt like, I'm not saying it was a drought because there was a lot of cool stuff that happened in 2013. I felt like the release schedule in 2013 was really weird.
My guess is they're probably having issues with the plastics because there's been a lot of people complaining about them. So they're probably changing how they do their plastics and trying to find a new provider.
Which would explain the issue with the Riphorn because obviously plastic heavy kit for the Satyrs.
Right. So my guess is that this stuff has been delayed while they try to resolve that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
One thing I like about the keynote overall is they hired that guy a year or two ago who does a lot of their video work, and their presentations have really been that much more professional, more exciting to watch. He really puts a lot of effort into them. Like, he does a lot of all their games they come out with now. He does like their little demos on like how to play level 7 or how to do these things, and all their videos are really sharp.
Yeah.
So they really hire. I mean, that's, I think they look more professional than they mean. And I just wanted to point out that guy's awesome.
Kudos to you,
because I'm sure that guy is like, oh, someone appreciates my day.
I don't think he listens to our podcast.
Hey,
cute.
There is.
I know that several staff members listen to our podcast.
Simon has to. Simon.
Yeah, Simon does have to.
Simon's job is their social people. So Simon, every is like, oh, goddamn, I have to listen to those damn cripple system people. There goes my afternoon.
Well, then, since Simon has to listen.
Afternoon? Does he listen to us on loop?
He passes out after that.
Well, we've been.
He's like Man of War. He listens to 5 minutes, then leaves his cubicle for 5 minutes, then comes back in. But then, Simon, you're welcome for the Carly, not Carly Simon, the Carly Rae Jepsen Nine Inch Nails mashup that I posted. I posted that on Off Topic, and he came in and said it was glorious.
Nice.
We have been.
Call Me a Hole is amazing. I don't know, that should be a recommendation. Google Call Me a Hole. It's a mashup between Call Me Maybe and Head Like a Hole by Nine Inch Nails, and it's.
I watched it.
And it's astoundingly good.
It was pretty good.
It should be terrible. It's mashup of Call Me Maybe and Head Like a Hole. It should be terrible. It's one of my favorite songs.
It was
amazing.
Pretty good.
We have steadily been going into Muse on Mini's former 2-hour-plus podcast territory.
Yeah,
just
we
the
do.
Last couple.
Yeah, we need to work on that.
They are going back to episodes. They're going back to their 3 hours. Evidently, they felt bad that Remove from Play had the only 3.5-hour podcast out there.
So they wanted to fix that problem.
I thought that they had it arranged the way they did because it was like based off of downloads or something. They got
well. They didn't go down the advertising thing.
Yeah, they wound up not doing the advertising. So
why?
Well, if you listen to them, maybe find things out.
They're an LLC now, though. Don't they need sweet advertising revenue?
I don't know. I don't care about the details.
To become an LLC takes like $50 in a form.
I want to be an LLC.
And the effort to fill it out.
It would be like $10 each.
I know. Let's go. We could be an LLC.
Let's not make this fancier than it is.
Yeah. There's Katie keeping it real.
Speaking of fancy accounting knowledge, do you want to talk about your fancy accounting knowledge?
Are you? It's my job to make sure.
I know, but I'm helping you.
Moving on.
I haven't said moving on in weeks.
You just said it.
I know.
Okay, so Games Workshop. I finally looked at it, and I'm going to make some stuff up. So if you have any actual questions, see your actual accountant. That's my disclaimer.
Wow.
Beforehand.
She's been actually, I want to put it out there for our listeners, she's been actually really nervous and did a ton of research on this because she's like, I'm a CPA. Like, if I'm going to talk about accounting on the podcast, like, I have to legitimately, like, be careful I don't say something that's, like, libelous or something like that. So Katie's been actually mildly nervous about this topic, which I find funny. Because you know what none of our listeners probably care about?
Labeled Exhibit B.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's just never happening.
Games Workshop versus Katie Shea.
This is my disclaimer. If you have any financial things that you want to look into, please see your personal accountant. This is for entertainment purposes only. Do not listen to me.
Much like the rest of our podcast, don't listen to us.
Anywho, moving on. So I looked at him. The revenue has been down, not only for the past 6 months, which is their mid-year financials that were released, but for the last 12 months. And most of the reason, it looks like if you read their financial statement, like notes, it's because they're changing from multi-man stores to one-man stores. So instead of having several managers, the store is only going to have one manager. So they're kind of in transition at that point. But if you look at everything else in their financial statements, they look like they're pretty solid, pretty strong companies still. Like, they're in a strong cash position. They have the cash to pay their bills. They don't really have that much long-term debt, if any, which is really good. And usually what that would signify is that they're not reinvesting into their own company. But if you look at their development, their product development line, it actually went up over the previous year. So I would say they are putting the money back into their company. The thing you have to remember with stock markets is you have to remember that the financial markets don't, the people who are in the financial markets have a different goal than what, companies can sometimes provide. Like, a healthy company can do poorly in the stock market at times because it's not providing what the stock marketers are looking for. So in this case, they were, I think it was like $25 a share they were paying out. And then that dropped to $17 a share. And so people who are looking for stable income and stable growth are going to drop that stock and move on to something else like Pepsi or Coke. Whereas people now are going to start coming in who are trying to play the market and want something that's a little bit riskier. And they'll come into this. And then once this company starts doing well again and increases the revenue, they'll catch that upswing. And then they'll probably sell someplace when they think the company might start to experience another downswing. So that's something to keep in mind. The company itself is doing just fine. There isn't anything wrong with it, as far as I can tell.
Financially?
There isn't anything wrong with it financially.
Morally.
Other than their revenues are down a little bit. And, the other thing that you have to remember, and I was kind of talking to Travis about this is a purely discretionary income hobby. So if the economy worldwide is doing really shitty, then companies such as this are going to do shitty. And then I was going to look into, like, Blizzard or something to try and get like a comparison on the industry because that would give me an idea of whether people's discretionary income is going down overall. But there isn't really any other company that's sold publicly and puts their financials out there for me to look at to compare that would be similar to them. Like Blizzard has World of Warcraft, which Travis pointed out, $10 a month isn't that much to keep your subscription
$15
isn't that much a month to keep
$14.95
going. So, you know, it was really hard to, like, say that. But I will say that if, you know, based on what I've heard about the economy, people are having a hard time getting and keeping jobs that can pay to afford their basic needs. So where would they get the money to spend it on new models?
Hobby-related stuff.
Yeah. Hobby-related stuff. Income, yeah. And so my guess would be that the second-hand market would be doing better. That would be my guess. So
that's, but Bartertown isn't publicly traded, so we can't look into that.
Right.
Correct.
So, yeah, but that would be my guess on it. That's kind of what my notes say. And, you know, I don't think that they have an impending implosion like people say they do from a financial standpoint. It just doesn't look like it.
Yeah, there's always going to be the doomsayers. You know, the second, if you hate that company, then you're going to say it's going to go down in flames. And then, yeah, it's not always the case. You know.
Right. So, I mean, that's just something to keep in mind whenever you see stories like this, is people who are in the financial markets are looking for something different than people who are looking for a stable company. Well, I shouldn't say it like that. But they're looking for to make money off of what the company is doing, not make money based off of the company doing well. Does that make sense?
But then was there the apparent cause and effect of they announced their financials for the period, and then that day, 30% plummet of the stock? Like,
well, because what they're looking for, again, is they were paying $25. So if you owned a share, you would get $25, and you own 100 shares, so now you're getting $2,500, and then it drops to $17 a share, and now you're only getting $1,700, and you're saying, well, I can take my money.
But why did it drop?
Well, because people are saying, I can take my money from there and put it into here where I was.
You're saying, why did it drop from 25 to 17?
Right, and I'm getting that. It dropped because of the revenue.
That's what I'm saying.
Is the, like, yeah, but
if they're doing fine, like if
people panicked and dropped. So they felt it was going to go downhill.
People, I don't even know if they panicked. They were like,
well,
I can
panic
get,
is a strong word.
I can get $25 over here. And so since everyone was selling their stock, the stock price dropped.
Right, and I guess what I'm just saying is I don't see the price is dropping. It's seeing which is first, the car or the horse, because the price is dropping, and so the price, because people are selling, but then why were they selling if the company is financially stable?
Possibly because people expected more.
They had a history of growth in the past,
and so they saw stable, and stable wasn't good enough.
Well, I mean, they did go down in revenue, but this is, again, they had a astounding year in 2012, from June of 2012 to December of 2012, and then they had a shitty year from January of 2013 to May of 2013, or June of 2013. June, so it was July to December, and then January to June. And that was hidden because they had such a great year, or a great first half, and then they continued to not do so well, partially because they're transitioning how they sell things.
Gotcha.
And so their revenue is down, and so people who want that stable income are dropping because the earnings per share relates directly to the bottom line. Like, whatever the company makes, that's what earnings per share is calculated.
I'll tell you,
that makes sense. If they were doing really good and then they didn't release any other financials from the parts that they were doing bad, and then when they finally release those financials for that, it's, you know, it looks like it, you know, everything's coming to an end.
Yeah, I mean, but the point is, just because a company isn't making as much doesn't mean it's not making something.
Yeah.
And it's still making something, and their balance sheet looks strong. They can pay all of their debts. They're still putting money back into the company.
Let me ask you a question, Katie. What does a stock do? A share?
A share.
Why would I buy a share?
You buy a share in the
hope. So I hope that I can sell it later for more, but why? Like, what? Like, they don't exist. They don't do anything. Why are they something that people buy and sell?
I don't
understand that basic concept of the stock market.
They do initially. So,
we may need another podcast to go on that particular issue.
If I have enough stock, I can go cash them in and say, ha-ha, I control part of your company now. Really? I mean,
well,
you can't.
Sorta.
I don't get to decide what new Faction Games Workshop rolls out if I collect enough stock tickets. Like, I...
Yeah, you kind of do. If you collect enough.
If you have enough.
Yeah.
Like Pokemon, if you have them all, you win.
Beyond what a normal person would have. The people who buy and sell a couple hundred shares.
But you have to realize there are different kinds of stock, too. There's stock where it's, you sell it, you buy it at one price, and you sell it at a different price, and you earn or lose whatever the difference is. But then there's also other kinds of stock where they just pay you a dividend every month. So you buy it at $2, and every month they give you 25 cents. Just for the rest of the time that you own that, and then you sell it to them back for $2. So it's just something that generates money.
I like quarters.
Seems like a great deal.
I mean, their returns are usually lower because there's less risk, but it's...
All these people buying and selling stocks to each other and hoping they go up and hoping they go down, and they don't do anything except get bought and sold to each other. So I just never understood. Whoa, hi. That's my phone. Excuse me. I don't recognize that phone number. I'm going to silence
you
it.
You should silence
it. It's always baffled me because it seems entirely pointless.
Well, no, it's there so when they want to destroy the economy, they can just, like, sell everything and then go into...
This is the thing, is you run into an economy that's based off of the making of money as opposed to the making of products, and that's where you get into the situations where banks go down.
It's like, if you buy this crushed can from me for $5 because you think Andy will give you $6, and Andy buys it for $6, so he thinks that Jerry will give him $7, like... I understand that we're each buying it in the hope somebody else will give us more, but it's a useless... It doesn't do anything. Why did somebody buy it in the first place? And I understand that there's no answer to that because it's built to what it is now and it functions on its own momentum, but the whole thing just seems utterly pointless and stupid to me.
Like the very first guy who says, I have an idea.
I'll sell you these sheets of paper and maybe someone will buy them from you for more later. Like, who said yes to that? And why?
Yeah, I don't...
How did he start the stock market? Because it makes no fucking sense.
You know, what's going to happen
is
that...
It does make sense, for companies, because when they do their IPOs, that's when they're saying, fund us, because we want to expand, but we don't have the money or the capabilities to do it on our own, and it's people taking an interest. Now that people have an interest in it, as opposed to... You know, maybe the company didn't want to buy it back, and that's how it started, is they were like, well, I need to get my cash
back. It's just an elaborate Kickstarter.
It's an elaborate Kickstarter.
Yeah. But it's a Kickstarter where it's not then just done. Like, but people continue to buy and sell their share in the Kickstarter that happened 100 years ago.
It's gotten to the point where...
Why am I still buying and selling Coke stock? Coke doesn't need my money. I'm buying it from other schmucks.
I mean, yes, it's gotten to the point where, you know, it's bad for the economy at this point.
It's just this weird dance that rich people do.
It's not just rich people. It's people in the middle class, too.
Upper middle.
Not upper middle. Like, you have a 401k, right?
Yeah.
Guess what your mutual fund is doing in there?
Yeah, I know.
But he's not.
The mutual fund is doing.
All 401ks do. Yeah, when you have 401k, 401k.
But my point is, Brian's not buying and selling stock himself. But it's happening behind the scenes. Well, that's true. I have money in a bank, and my bank is buying and selling stock with my money, and that's how they continue to exist. But, oh my fucking God, I thought I silenced this
thing.
They're
not buying, and so that's not how banks work.
Yeah, it is.
No, they use that money to borrow from, if they get, I mean, it might be somewhat, but for the most part, if they have $500 from you, they can go to the big bank, that's the nation's bank.
Federal Reserve,
and say, I have $500, loan me $5,000, and then they loan him $5,000 and get the interest rate from him. That's really how they make money. And, you know, selling then mortgages.
If our thread in this episode is all but financial, I'm going to murder everyone.
Point is, I don't think your average middle class person has ever bought a stock in their life.
Oh yeah, the people. It's a
gambling. A lot of people do.
It's gambling. People do that. I know a lot of people.
Yeah, if you've heard of penny stocks, like, I think that people are more involved with stocks in their lives than they realize. Even if he hasn't bought one, he's bought one because he's put money into the system.
Well, sure, and I get that behind the scenes.
That's why they have
happening.
All those, the talking baby crap. They make it so easy for a person. You know, you spend your $10, you can buy some stock. It's like people are going to sit in front of their computer and
sell. I mean, there's a reason, like, E-Trade and stuff.
Have
the money to make ridiculous numbers of commercials. Middle class people.
I remember there's like an E-Trade commercial where they're like, we're not just for millionaires, we're also for, you know, people like you, the 100,000 heirs. And I'm like, I'm like a $100 heir. Like, what are you talking about, asshole?
Just watch Wolf of Wall Street. You'll understand.
Yeah.
It all makes sense.
But anyway, the end result is their company is doing fine.
Financially.
Yes, their revenues are down, but they're still very stable and very much alive.
Bullshit, they suck. Maybe we'll dust off the Pip intro for that one.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Recommendations. Who wants to be Andy? Do it.
I recommend the Lego movie. I haven't seen it, but I'm recommending it.
Oh, you fucker.
No, fine. Go ahead, Andy. Recommend whatever you want to recommend.
Should recommend the movie that is awesome. Because it is all
the
awesome.
One the one that you didn't invite any of us to?
Yeah. Thank you for that, by the
Lego
way.
Movie.
No one would have went at 3:30
when I
went. I
didn't know you did that.
No, but Katie would have totally gone yesterday.
I would have tried
to
convince
at
you
both
to
of those times.
I know. I would not have. I did not want to. I'm like, I'm going at 3:30. If I ask anyone, they'll say, you want to wait? I'll be like, no, I don't.
Yeah, I went at 10 on Saturday, and it was an excellent movie.
Well, my mistake was, if I go at 3:30 on a Friday, I'll beat the kids in the rush. So instead, there's way too many kids around with their parents and me in the middle. So
I'm sitting in the theater full of kids.
Yeah, I did feel a little weird, too.
Were you wearing a trench coat?
Yeah. Hey, kids. I made a terrible mistake.
I brought in a big bag of candy to hand out.
Hey, you want some candy?
We're creepy.
That's so you like the movie, Andy?
That movie is awesome. I mean, not just to paraphrase, like the song that's popular with it. That movie is good all the way around. It's a touching story, filled with obnoxious action. It's great.
I love the word obnoxious when it's referencing
first
a good movie.
Started, I thought it was going to be kind of bland. I was like, well, this isn't. But then it took off pretty fast.
Yeah,
but I was a little scared for the first maybe 10-15 minutes.
Where do you guys stand on the? How do you pluralize the word Lego?
Lego.
Yeah?
Yeah, Lego.
Yeah, it doesn't change. Okay. You don't call it Legos.
People do.
Yeah.
And the question is, if 90% of people call them Legos, do you have to just say, you know what, Lego? I know that you say it's supposed to be pluralized as Lego, but everyone says Legos, so now it's Legos.
I say Legos.
I do say Legos too, I guess.
Yeah, I just thought, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Who cares?
Or you can mix it and you can say Lego bricks.
If you want to get I will say, though, I love everything that Charlie Day does in that movie.
Well, Charlie Day's great, in general.
I didn't recognize his voice for the first 5 minutes. I'm like, who the hell is that? I know him. I'm like, oh, that makes complete sense.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. I was like,
At some point, he's smashing rats with a stick, and you're like, oh, okay, now I recognize him.
He's not someone who I think would be in an animated movie, so it just didn't really fit.
He's like a living cartoon character.
Yeah,
so.
But him being animated was weird.
Yeah, it worked out. The second you realize that it's Charlie Day, then it just goes off the handle.
He's the guy spaceship. Spaceship! The Pennsylvania movie. Pennsylvania show.
Spaceship.
Pittsburgh.
Oh,
Sunny.
Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, which I don't watch. Okay.
The scientist from Pacific Rim. The not the stuck-up British one with the wimp, but the crazy one.
Okay. That one I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Never mind.
I was getting to the title.
He's in one of the best romantic comedies ever. I suddenly couldn't think of the name of it.
I don't know that you were.
Jim would agree with me. I need to Google something really quick. Charlie Day's in the best romantic comedy movie ever.
Horrible Bosses?
No, he was
in Horrible Bosses.
He was the one
Jennifer Aniston was molesting.
Yes, he was.
Which,
I'm sorry, there's no such thing as being molested by Jennifer Aniston.
Hey, you know what? This is a very serious issue, striking America, uh-huh. is that men aren't allowed, quote-unquote, men can't be sexually harassed. And that's not true.
You can be, just not by Jennifer Aniston.
Okay, if they're hot enough, it doesn't count.
Yes.
I think that it still does.
I was so angry one time. I was in the break room at work, and I was watching, like, somebody was watching Oprah, so it's like I'm stuck there, and there's Oprah in front of me, and she had on this teacher who had had romantic relations with like a 12-year-old boy in the junior high. But since she's a female teacher,
she gets away with it.
Well, because what a lucky guy, right? This lucky kid,
this lucky 12-year-old kid.
So
yeah.
She rapes this kid because that's what you are when you have sex with 12-year-olds. Is you're rapist.
Raping them, yeah.
And like, oh, and so she lost her job and stuff like this. And so Oprah's like, oh, this must be so hard on you. This is so hard for you. And I'm like, if that was a 38-year-old guy who was fucking a 12-year-old girl, Oprah would personally crucify him.
Yes. That is bullshit.
Also, if you ever sleep with Jennifer Aniston, you better say that you didn't want it and that it was
a trap. That is a less...
I will say that.
The movie is Going the Distance. I wasn't going to drop that. It's the best romantic comedy ever with Charlie Day.
Going the Distance.
Going the Distance. One. Also has Justin Long in it. Drew Barrymore. Mm. It's amazing.
It's fun because Long is in a movie called Distance, and so he's a long distance.
Hey!
He's like my favorite B-level actor that's in terrible movies.
The Apple Guy? Is that Justin Long? That's the Apple Guy,
that's
right?
That's the Apple Guy.
Yeah, the best movie he's ever...
Jeepers Creepers?
No!
Jeepers Creepers?
No! Fucking Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Jesus. You should know that one.
Because he annoys me as the Apple Guy and he dies in Jeepers Creepers. Spoiler. And so it makes me happy.
I actually enjoyed him as the Apple Guy. I really did.
I just hate Apple.
Well, I hate Apple, but I enjoy it. Like, it hurts my soul every time I use my iPad.
It does not. You have such a smile on your face.
It hurts my soul. That's the look I get on my face when my soul dies.
Out there that's, everything that kills me makes me feel alive. It's like a lyric. I really enjoy that one line of that song.
Well, I know Brian held off for years before getting an Apple in the desperate hope that a non-Apple tablet would get any board games on it.
Like,
why the hell can't I play Kalos on a Kindle? Why is it only on the fucking iPad?
Exactly. You know? No, I completely agree. Did you have a recommendation somewhere in there, Brian?
I do.
Distance?
Nope. My recommendation is a show on Adult Swim called Rick and Morty.
You motherfucker! What? How? Really? Really? Like, I thought I had a surefire thing no one else was going to recommend, and you pop up. Oh, fucker. I have to think now.
I was actually afraid at some point someone would mention it.
I've been holding off for weeks. I meant to do it last week and the week before. I've been holding off. Damn it.
It is a half-an-hour show. It's kind of like...
The great description I've heard. I'll do yours. I won't trump you. But
see, my friend at work thing. Who convinced me to watch, he's like, basically think of Back to the Future, yeah. Where you have, you know, instead of the Doc being, you know, kind of a bumbling fool but kind of adorable, is you have these super, super smart, but kind of an alcoholic, crazy, mean
person. Not kind of.
Yeah.
It's Back to the Future where Doc is an abusive drunk.
Yes.
He's full-on abusive, full-on drunk.
But they do a lot of weird things, like they kind of scramble through time a little bit, and it's all these crazy, but also not like dimensions, too. So, like, they have all these weird creatures coming in.
Yeah.
It's like a half an hour Adult Swim show. It's amazing. And I'm glad
Is it on Netflix or anything?
It's only on season one.
You can see it on YouTube.
I watched a couple of it on Hulu. I watched a few episodes on Hulu. I think there's only like 6 or 7 out. I've only seen them like 3 or 4 of them.
Is that Hulu Plus or?
I only have Hulu Plus, so I can watch it there. But you can watch 3 episodes on Adult Swim, though. So, at least two or three.
Cool. But it's an Adult Swim show, so it gets dark.
Well, Dan Harmon, who does Community, has helped create it, so it has a really good edge to it. It's just a very, very funny, dark, ridiculous, over-the-top show.
I love Mr. Meeses. Those things were great.
Like the dogs took over the world.
Yeah.
They had an Inception-based episode, which was pretty great.
Nice.
So I'm glad I hijacked.
Andy just gestured something that I don't think anybody understood.
525.
There's a movie at 525.
The Lego movie.
You have to leave.
I would have
to leave. My recommendation is going to be something nebulous then, since Brian... I should have done it last week or the week before. Damn.
I only started watching the show Friday night.
Yeah, so. Okay, I'm going to go with a nebulous one, because it's something that I've started to do more of, is if you have lots of books or movies and games and stuff that are just gathering dust...
Sell them.
Get rid of them. Get them out there. Go to... If you can find, like, a more independent thing, like, we here have half-price books versus just taking it to pre-play or something. I like those small, like, mom-and-pop things. Not just because you can get some money, but get them out in the circulation and kind of share it. Like, a lot of people go to those things and they buy stuff there that's cheaper and they kind of expand their minds and they just pick up random things because they're cheap. Mm-hmm. So, even better, if you don't need the money, donate it to a library. Just basically get rid of all those books and movies and CDs. Like, it's on your iPad. It's on Netflix. It's on Hulu. You have those books memorized. You're never going to read them again, or they're on your Kindle. I mean, it's not worth having a full shelf. It's just eating up space in your home, and it's worth it as a service to other people to get it out there. So whether you sell it to, like, a half-price book-style thing or a pre-plate, or whether you donate to a library, just get it back out in circulation.
Haha.
Also, Rick and Morty.
Mine has a story.
Take two strokes off my golf swing. I love the Mr. Meeses plotline. Sorry, Katie, go on.
Mine has a story to it. First, as I went to go get my hair done yesterday, and me and my hairdresser, who is a guy, we're talking about the 80s and like cartoons that we really liked, and I was like, I really loved My Little Ponies before it was like a weird thing. And he was like, what do you mean? And I said, well, because, you know, there's bronies now. And he was like, what are bronies? And I was like, oh, you know, like, grown men who really are way too into My Little Ponies.
You didn't hit the eject conversation button at this point. You didn't
Katie,
go, Katie never mind.
Katie doesn't have one of those.
End conversation.
Who is this with?
Her hairdresser.
The new cartoon is actually really well animated and well written. So.
Okay, but this
I'm not
is
saying I'm a
the
brony.
I don't know. I don't know. What I heard was Andy's
a
brony.
Story,
when
guys.
Someone says, what's a brony, you change the topic to something better. You go like, you know, Hitler did nothing wrong. That's a safer conversation to have.
A safer conversation.
Wow, that
Hitler
was...
did nothing wrong.
Can we go anyway... 1 week without Hitler, really?
No. So anyway, and he was like, oh, did you hear about that 11-year-old boy who was really tormented because he liked My Little Ponies? And I was like, well, he's 11, and it's not quite the same thing, because these are like...
Mid-30s.
Grown men.
Yeah.
thinking he would get it. And he was like, well, yeah, you know, court it, but he sees Shazone. And I was like, well, no, they, like, sexualize the ponies.
They sell My Little Pony toys with vaginas that you can have sex with.
And he, like, the look on his face was priceless when I told him this.
I don't know that priceless is the word you're looking for.
And this was halfway through, and, like, it was near the end, and he was like, I just can't get bronies out of my mind. So my recommendation is introduce somebody to something they haven't heard of before.
That's terrible?
That's terrible.
So have a friend listen to our podcast.
Perfect.
It'll be amazing. Like, you'll get a great look on their face. And that's your reward.
If you get a delayed reaction where they Google it wrong, and then the next week you have to explain it again.
Like dog in a shower?
Like dog in a shower, yeah.
So that's my recommendation. And then he was like, I'll have to, he's homosexual, so he was like, I'll have to ask my boyfriend what if he's heard of it. And I was like, he works at Epic, I am sure that he has heard of
it. It seems likely.
I'm a horrible person, but my recommendation was donate books to library. Your recommendation was introduce poison to people's brains.
Shit, kind of brown.
It was such a great look.
Well, not a poison. She wants more of a large explosion to their mind. She wants to see the effect. Oh, poison takes time.
But it's always going to be there. Like, the guy's just going to be like eating dinner with his kids, and all of a sudden he's just going to imagine some guy fucking Pinkie Pie. And he's like,
most of the stuff that you would be donating is poison to other people's minds.
To be fair, they are books that you enjoyed.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm just saying, or if you want to make it more philanthropic, like Nathan, introduce somebody to something new.
And terrible.
And terrible.
Not and terrible, just something new. Broaden their knowledge base.
Yeah, I have breaking news. Will defeated John, and now he's in the finals versus Chuck.
With Assyria.
With Assyria.
What well, are you no, no, do not Assyria. Assyria's done. What are you going to do if he wins a Masters Assyria event with Rhett?
Three. That's...
Well, I'm not the one that said that Rhett's terrible and boring. I love Rhett. I think Rhett should win Masters. I'm a little bummed that it's Pagani.
Well, now he's fighting Chuck.
Well, what's the forms? What are the forms going to do?
Oh, the forms are going to fucking explode if he wins it.
My favorite part will be if he wins it, they'll have a yeah, but.
Yeah, there will be a yeah. There will be a yeah, but.
Signar won?
Yeah, but.
Yeah, it will.
Doesn't count. That's the favorite part of when someone wins it, yeah, but.
No. I mean, Will's a good player. There aren't a lot of people that would have taken a chance on Assyria at TempleCon and Masters. He's one of the ones that would. He's played Rhett before. He knows the faction somewhat.
Why wouldn't they?
Because a lot of the Masters caliber player, like the ones that you would expect to make it far into Masters, don't even have enough knowledge of Rhett to play it.
Right. So my point is they don't have enough knowledge of... But Assyria specifically, I mean, she's a good
He has to learn a new caster. They'd have to learn an entire faction.
Learning to play with her is a lot easier than learning to play against her.
Yes.
And so my point is that if you have any knowledge whatsoever with how to function with her faction...
Just play her.
Just play her, and your advantage is going to be huge.
Huge, yeah.
It's kind of like... I don't know why my brain went here, but it's kind of like... Being left-handed is an incredibly huge advantage in fencing.
Yes, I've heard
that. It's difficult to learn to fence left-handed because everything's backwards. You're blocking from the wrong side and everything. So it's a huge disadvantage when you start to learn. But once you catch on, everyone that you face against is fucked because they're in that same disadvantage and they haven't had a lifetime of training to deal with it. Right. So learning to play with a disadvantage can be worth it if it puts everybody else at that same disadvantage once you're used to it.
Right.
Chuck is playing Legion.
Does it say what caster?
I see the last one he played Absalonia. Played Veil 2. I didn't see the last one there.
Interesting.
Veil 2 again. But, yeah. But he's playing Legion, so.
I'm very interested in how that all turns out. Anyway, my recommendation. So, I recommended last time, while Clockwork Vox was here, the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I haven't heard back from Alex whether it blew his mind and was amazing, or it made him want to kill himself. So I would like to know how that turned out.
He tweeted that my recommendation was amazing.
He did, that's true. But that didn't happen about mine.
I almost listened to it. I don't like music very much, but I almost... That's how close I got to listening to something new.
I'm glad.
As I thought about it, but I didn't. But fair it enough. Crossed my mind.
But my recommendation is actually to travel to other metas that are... traveling all the way to TempleCon is fine and whatever if you've got the time and the money for that. But even just like the 3.5-hour drive we did yesterday, like it's amazing how fun and the different things you see driving even that short a distance. Like 3.5 hours is not that far. Admittedly, the way our meta does it is one person drives the whole way, but like you could split that up. There's no reason you couldn't. And you learn a lot about the game seeing the game through a different meta's eyes. Like, I faced a guy who was playing Terminus Iskar. Like, that's not a pairing I've seen at a tournament ever in our meta. Like, I've seen those casters, but not paired together. I just haven't. I haven't seen that play in our meta at a tournament. I've seen it played casually, sure.
That's actually what I took to Lock and Load last
year. Okay, I didn't go to Lock and Load. But yeah. But like, that's just not something in our meta you see much. Peace Orsha with the Ocean's 18 list, like, I've heard about, Nigel talk about it, but I never got a chance to see it and play it. Plus, you get to meet cool new people. By and large, everybody I meet at tournaments, I get along with and enjoy. They have something in common with us. We have a game that we can talk about. Even if there's someone who's, like, not necessarily someone I would, like, spend my life becoming best friends with, we have something in common. We have a game that we both enjoy to chat about. And you meet people that are people that you would enjoy hanging out with, at least somewhat. So my recommendation is, don't just go to your local store, although you should also go to your local store. Travel an hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, whatever, to a tournament that's in a slightly different meta and meet some new people. Especially if you can get a couple friends to go.
And then lend them a book you want to read and then tell them a new story.
And then tell them about bronies and blow their mind.
Yeah. Combine all of these together.
Hey, pay it forward.
But yeah, that's my recommendation. I really had fun set yesterday.
Sweet. Sorry.
You have a funny look on your face, Nathan.
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I just don't understand why anybody would ever buy a stock.
What about a stock?
And on that note.
All right, I guess we're all going
to
sign up now.
Thanks for listening to Cripple System episode
5780. Everything is awesome.